Good to see each of you tonight. Again, if you're visiting with us, you are indeed welcome. You're honored guests. We're glad that you're here. And of course, it's good to see members of the congregation who have come back to worship tonight. I wish we could get the attitude that every time the doors are open, that we could assemble together and encourage one another in Christ Jesus our Lord. Of course, you have that attitude. You're always here. But I wish we could get more to have that understanding of how important it is to be with God's people. I just don't know. Be quite honest with you, we're not here all that long. And then we're gone. I talked about some folks this morning that I knew years ago. And most of them are gone. I talked about a church that I had been the minister at over 40 years ago, and many of them have gone on to their reward, but still folks get in touch with us, and we love them. But you know, we need to love one another more. And the fact of the matter is that we assemble together. It's not only for us, is it? Did you know that the angels are present with us when we gather together? And did you know the Lord is? So it's awful strange to me sometimes when people don't understand, why should I be there? You should be there. This is the Lord's time. Yeah. But it's hard to get that across to people who don't understand. My lesson tonight is quite simple. It's a lesson that our Lord taught in reference to prayer. And what prayer is, and to whom prayer is addressed, and what we should say, be concerned about as we pray. So that's what I'm going to talk about. I call it the model prayer. You'll hear some preachers say, now the Lord's Prayer. That's not the Lord's Prayer. You want to find the Lord's Prayer? Go to the 17th chapter of the book of John. There's the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord was praying for those who would believe on Him, be able to go to heaven. And He prayed for them that their strength would be, they would be strong through any adversity. And so if you read the 17th chapter, you read what the Lord's Prayer is about. Or you could also read about how the Lord prayed for Him, His own power to be able to withstand the crucifixion. And, of course, we have that in a number of places. There are times that we have that Jesus prayed all night long. And we know that He had to mention so many things to the Father. I told you this morning about a man that I read. I got a piece from a good brother on that. And it had to do with interruptions in our prayers. The Bible said, Jesus said, now look, there's these Pharisees, they like to be seen when they pray. They like to stand up in the synagogue and be heard for their long talking. He said, I tell you what, when you pray, you go to your closet or to your house. Close your door. Pray to God in secret. Speak to Him. And He hears in secret and He will answer you. Our prayers are not for show. Our prayers are to be from the heart. And this is what the Lord is teaching the disciples in Matthew chapter 6. And so if you've looked at that, verses 9 through 15, Bible says, and this is during the Sermon on the Mount, when He had taught so many things. And in that particular chapter, He was talking about almsgiving and prayer. And He talked about some folks that when they gave, they wanted to rattle the pan so everybody would know that they put their quarter in there. Then He said also some who want to pray, they want to do it out, you know, where everybody sees them. And that's when He then taught about the earnestness of prayer and how that you and I, this is how that we should pray. And here's what He said. Say this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, after the Lord's death, then he tells us that we are to ask in his name. And the reason for that is he's the mediator, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. There is only one God and one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ the Lord. By the way, in the 14th chapter of John, Jesus told his disciples, the apostles, anything you ask, ask it in my name, and it will be done. So it's important that we look at it from that standpoint. So here, that's the first point. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. We are to address the Heavenly Father, not Jesus Christ. Okay? Sometimes you hear folks, denominational world, I've been praying to Jesus. Well, now wait just a moment. Jesus said, don't pray to me. You pray through me, but you address the Heavenly Father. Our prayers are to go to the Heavenly Father, and they will go through Jesus Christ, our intercessor and our mediator. Remember what Paul said in Romans 10, verse 1? My heart's desire and prayer to God, the Father, is this, that my people, Israel, could be saved. I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Being ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own form of righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Oh, Father, I pray for my people, Israel. He's talking to the Heavenly Father. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. The Bible is clear. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, admonishing you in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And whatever you do, verse 17, in word or deed, do all in the name, through the name of Jesus Christ. See how important it is to go to the Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus. That's our prayer. That's the way prayer should be. He's the mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5. John 14:13, already used those, but Jesus said to his apostles, now, there's going to be times that you're going to need this, this, and this. He said, whatever you ask in my name, it'll be given you. Don't worry about it. And by the way, he even told the apostles, it'll be given to you what you shall say at that time. Now, that's something you and I don't have. But the apostles did. Inspired of God, the very words that they used when it was time would come forth from the Heavenly Father. There's another point here. He said, when you ask, say, hallowed be thy name. You know what that word literally means? It means to be the sacred one, the reverenced one, the holy one. So when you pray to the Heavenly Father, you could literally say that. Oh, Holy One. Holy, Reverend, hallowed be thy name. You're talking to God, the Father. Hallowed be thy name. Psalms 111, 9, it shows how sacred it is. Holy and reverend is the name of God. These so-called scholars of the Bible who put a word reverend in front of their name, they don't know the Bible, do they? Holy and reverend is the name of God. That's a whole lot like the contribution they want to get, right? Give your money to the Lord. By the way, my address is 2002... That's where to send it. Because, by the way, folks, that's about where it goes. Yeah, religion's a racket like everything else. Becoming more so as the days pass. Less reverence to God, but we can reverence a man? Did you folks happen to catch the story of Jim Jones? Did you see the documentary on him this past week? Did you? Wasn't it ridiculous? You know what he told them? Call me Father. You can call me Mother. Yeah. But call me Father. I'm your Father. I'm your Mother. No, you're not. You're a human being like all the rest of us. And that mister had some problems, brothers and sisters. He led a lot of people to their death. Did not our Lord say, Matthew 23:9, call no man Father on earth, for you only have one Father, and He is in heaven. Y'all better look that up. It's there, Matthew 23:9. Do people call their man Holy Father? Hallowed is thy name, not some man's name, but that's what we do, right? Now, you understand that, but these people listening to this are going to be mad at me. They won't shoot me. Well, go ahead. It'll just get me to the Father quicker. Don't intend to give up anything the Word of God says. I move here, like every place else. I move here so the morticians, they want to know, now how do we address you? Is it Reverend? Is it Pastor? Is it Holy Father? I say, no, it's Dan. My name is Dan. What? Oh, by the way, one of the morticians here is named Dan Carter. It's not me, but his name is Dan Carter, same as mine. And one of the first funeral services I held in Killeen, it said down Dan Carter will be the officiating. And it said some folks showed up just to see how Dan was going to do. That other Dan, not me. Hey, that's what Mama named me. And if it's good enough for Mama, it's good enough for anybody. Sweetest soul that ever lived. My name is Dan. That's who I am. You want to address me? I'm Dan. It's okay. But you don't have to honor me. Don't need to be honored not with the name of God. God is holy. God is reverend. God is the Father. Psalms 89 and verse 7, listen to this. God is greatly to be feared and honored in His sanctuary and reverenced by all of those that come near Him. Let me tell you how honorable the name of God is. Exodus 20 and verse 7. It is the third commandment in the Decalogue. What's it say? Do not take the name of God in vain. When you take the name of God in vain, we think, oh, somebody's cursing. There's many ways to take the name of God in vain. Not to respect what He said. Not to do what He said. So there you are. Exodus 27. Do not take the name of God in vain. Jesus said, address like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy and reverend is thy name. And Father, we address you just that way. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When John the Baptist was put in prison and later, of course, was executed, Bible says in Mark 1, verses 14 and 15, immediately then Jesus began preaching in Galilee and telling the people, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is near. Now, if you go back this morning, I used Malachi chapter 3, 16, 17. But if you go back a little bit further in Malachi there, you will read, or a little later, you will read where Malachi is forecasting the coming of Christ. And he said he'll be the forerunner. He will introduce the people to Christ. In other words. So he asked John one time, said, "Are you the one?" He said, "No, I'm the best man." If you're thinking about a wedding service, I'm the best man. He's the man. Christ. "I am the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his way straight." So during the days of John the Baptist, by the way, here's another point. Did you know that Jesus said, "They that are least in the kingdom of heaven are greater than John the Baptist"? Did you guys know that you're greater than John the Baptist? That's what it says. Jesus said that. Not me. The Lord did. Why did he say it? Because John the Baptist never was in the kingdom. He died before the kingdom was established. Why the Bible says that when John was put in prison, then Jesus started going forth throughout Galilee and preaching, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is on its way. It's coming." In the Old Testament, that's what it was all about. Like in Daniel 2 and verse 44, that God is going to set up his kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Isaiah 2, 2 and 3 says it'll begin in the city of Jerusalem. That's where the word of God will go forth from. You can just follow that out in the Bible and you can see in Acts chapter 2 of the New Testament that it was in Jerusalem where the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, and what did they do? They preached the message of Christ. What was it? He came, he's been killed, he's been raised from the dead. Now his blood is shed that we can be saved and be a part of that everlasting kingdom that he came to us. Well now, Brother Carter, I thought that the kingdom's going to come when he returns a second time. No, it's already here. Again, you're not reading your Bible. Colossians chapter, and you preachers, Colossians 1 and verse 13, and that's all I hear from some of these preachers. Oh, wait till he comes, then we're going to get the kingdom. It's here now. Colossians 1:13. Bible says we were translated out of the power of darkness, what? Into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Kingdom is here, folks. Colossians 1:13. Hebrews 12 and verse 28. Jesus Christ raised from the dead. We have received a kingdom that can never be destroyed. Revelation 1 and verse 9, John was in the kingdom. John been dead a long time, folks. 2,000 years. What did John say? "I am your brother in tribulation and in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ." Don't fall for this old stuff. It says, oh, get ready now. If you want to be in the kingdom, when Jesus is not coming to set up a kingdom a second time, he's coming to judge, folks. The second time, the dead are going to be raised. And the angels are going to be sent. And they're going to gather the righteous from the unrighteous. It's judgment time. That's what's going to happen. Kingdom's already here, according to the Bible. So that part of it, don't you see? Jesus was saying to his apostles and to those disciples, you pray for the coming of the kingdom. It wasn't there yet. But after Acts chapter 2, the people were moving into the kingdom. It had been established. And the kingdom and the body of Christ is one and the same thing. It's a spiritual kingdom. And he said, they will not, or they say to you, lo, here it is, the Lord there. Don't believe it. The kingdom of heaven is within you. It's a spiritual kingdom, folks. See? It's simple when you listen to what the Word of God says. It gets difficult when you listen to these preachers. Right? All right. Give us this day our daily bread. One of the first things that the Israelites did when they got out of Egypt, they hadn't been 2 months out in the wilderness and they started griping. Oh man, we sat by the flesh pots there in Egypt and we could eat flesh and we had bread to eat to our full. That's the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus. So the Lord God said, all right, Moses, I'm going to give them food from heaven. I'm going to give them angels' food. You know why they called it manna? You know, it's sort of like post toasties. And once the dew was gone, there it was on the earth, and they could get it, gather it, and eat it, and make it into bread and whatever. It was called angels' food. How about that? I'm going to give them angels' food. Later they said, you know what? Oh, and by the way, did you notice that he also gave them quail to eat all the time? We got the idea that that came later. No, he was already giving them flesh to eat. They had fish, had quail, and they had manna. You know what manna means? I just told you it was like post-toasties, but you know what it meant to them and why it was called manna? Manna means, what is it? That's what it meant. They saw it on the ground, and so they said, what is that? What it is food from heaven. That's what it is. God supplies food from heaven for you and for me. That's what Jesus was teaching them. Right? By the way, Jesus is called the bread of life in the 6th chapter of the book of John. The record tells us there that Jesus said, yes, my Father gave you manna from heaven, but you died. But now, he that eats the bread from heaven now never dies. You guys get what Jesus is saying? Same thing he was telling that woman in John chapter 4 at the well. I can give you living water that you'll never thirst again. She said, oh, give me that water so I don't have to give any more drinking. I don't want to come out here and have to draw water and take a drink. He said, woman, I'm talking about spiritual water that'll break up into you in eternal life. And that's the kind of bread that Jesus is. We never die. Oh, we're going to shift positions. Yeah. Because everybody goes through the process of what we call death. But you never die. Not if you're a child of God. Not if you're a child of God. You're on your way to heaven. Yeah. That's the beautiful thing about Jesus, the bread of life. I can give you that bread that will give you eternal life. He who ever eats of me and drinks my blood hath eternal life. Right? Now you can take a runoff there and look at the Lord's Supper, can't you? Now the bread of life, of course, is the word of God. It came down from heaven. But Jesus said, take this bread and eat it. This is my body that's given for you. And take this fruit of the vine and drink it. This represents my blood, which is shed for you. Whoever eats this bread, drinks this cup, doth show the Lord's death till he come again. That's what Paul tells. So you see the beauty of bread? Oh, now, look, the Bible's not the only bread that we need to eat. If you don't eat physical bread, you're going to die. You'll starve to death, right? You don't eat a spiritual bread, you're going to starve to death. But go ahead, quit eating Miss Baird's and see how long you last. You'll kick them out of here. So here's the deal. We should be grateful for our daily physical bread too and give thanks to God for it. Isn't that beautiful what Jesus taught them? Our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses and lead us not into temptation. Forgiveness is discussed in Luke 11, 1 through 4. Now, it is the same prayer that he taught, our Father who art in heaven. But a little bit different on the trespasses. He says, if you don't forgive those who trespass against you, then your trespass cannot be forgiven. Someone sins against you, you forgive them. If you cannot forgive, you cannot be forgiven. Okay, that's what he's teaching. That's what he's saying to the disciples. We got to have the right kind of heart. If we expect God to forgive us, then we have to be forgiven, don't we? Well, that's Luke 11, 1 through 4. To be forgiven, we must be of a forgiving spirit. Temptation, 2 Timothy 4, 16 through 18. Temptations come in a number of matters. Listen. At my first defense, no man stood with me. Paul's prison. At my first defense, none of the brothers stood with me, but all of them fled. I pray God that he lay it not under their charge. Don't lay it to their charge. James 1, 13 through 15. Don't let any man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. Now what this says, what Jesus is saying, lead us not in temptation. There are forces out there that are getting at us all the time. Father, help me. Let me not be led into those strange things that will bring dishonor to your name and will destroy my soul. And brothers and sisters, we better have that kind of prayer. And that's what he's saying in James 1, 13 through 15. Temptation is not from God. Neither is God tempted, nor doth he tempt any man. But every man is led away and enticed by his own lust. There it is. And when it's finished, temptation finished, and lust conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin brings forth death. Right. Proverbs 3 and verse 25, he makes this statement in reference to those matters too. Be not afraid of sudden fear, nor of what the evil one may do to you. In other words, don't be caught up in fear. You and I as God's people have nothing to fear. We don't. Why? Because he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. The devil's strong, folks, I'm telling you. And you got friends that have been suckered away, and he's destroyed them. And you say, I hope that don't happen to them. Well, don't let it happen to you. Be a man, my son. Isn't that what Solomon used to say in Proverbs? Son, be a man. Don't allow the temptation to get to you. Because that brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Psalm 23. God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Leads me in paths of righteousness. See? Causes me to lie down in green pastures. Restores my soul. Goodness, mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord even forevermore. See, I'm going to tell you one other thing. I get too many things in my mind and that I want to say to you. I did say a little bit at the beginning about how that you and I are so blessed and we're on our way to heaven. We're not afraid of anybody or anything. Don't be afraid of the devil. Ain't nothing he can do to you anyway. He ain't nothing but a... I remember an old preacher years ago had drawn a devil on the blackboard. And I was just a kid. He had horns. And he had a long forked tail. And I said, you don't know what the devil looks like. I'm just a kid. And that's right. He said, I know. But he said, watch what I do with this. And you know what he did? The devil has horns, and he'll hook you any way he can. And he has a long tale to tell you if you'll listen to him. And I thought, man, that's great. But it's the truth. The devil got every scheme that you could think of to get a hold of. Oh, I don't feel good today, so I don't believe I'll be going to service. I'm not talking about... you guys are here, okay? This is preaching to the choir. But you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Well, my big toenail hurts. Well, cut it. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into... Don't allow us, Father, to give in to this stuff that's going to lead us into places we don't want to go and will bring shame upon your name. That's what our Lord was teaching his disciples. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Now you and I say, and we've learned this, right? In Jesus' name, amen. Because don't you see, he now is King of kings and Lord of lords. His kingdom is now. And we're citizens in it. Okay? Thank God. We live on this side of the cross. I've had people in my class sometimes say, man, I'd like to live back over there. No, you wouldn't. You'd have been stoned to death by now. You know, I've done so many things I'm ashamed of. They'd have stoned me a long time ago. Did you know that a kid in the Old Testament could not stand up and sass his mama or daddy? They'd take him to the leaders of the city and say, this kid is rebellious and he won't listen to us. Stone him to death. So a lot of us wouldn't have made it. No, the new covenant, folks, is a covenant of grace and peace, forgiveness and kindness. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We'll thank him all the time for it. Thank you all very much for being here tonight. And I hope the lesson will encourage us in our prayer life how that we pray unto our Heavenly Father. If you're subject tonight to the invitation of Christ in any manner, we want you to come. If you haven't obeyed him, do so now. This may be your last opportunity. Jesus said, go and preach this gospel to every creature. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not will be condemned. So we encourage you tonight to obey him. If you drifted away from your Lord, please come home. If you'd like to place membership with us, you can do that. Will you come while together we stand and sing?